My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to another episode of the Inside United podcast. My guest today is Micah Gunn from Columbus, Ohio. He is a student of the Bible, and he has his own podcast called Truth Be Told that you can find on all streaming platforms and on my website at kubik.org. You can find it under the links, the very first podcast that's listed there. It's a theology and apologetics podcast born out of a love for God's Word and a hope to find in common ground with those who study it and a desire to outline truth as the Bible tells it. That's how Micah describes it. But Micah is also a gifted musician, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So welcome to Inside United, Micah.
Thanks, Mr. Kubik. I appreciate it. I've seen a lot of my friends be on this podcast before, so it's cool to be on the other side.
As I said, Micah is a very gifted musician. He sings, he plays the guitar, but also he does something that very few people can. He's a composer. What is your background as it pertains to music?
Yeah, I've really loved music for the entirety of my life. It's something that's always been important to me, and my family would tell you that it's something that I've always enjoyed. But for me, it really first started in eighth grade. I was singing in the back of my workplace and thought I was alone, and it turned out I was not alone. And this girl came out of the building and she was like, "Man, you sound okay." And I was like, that was the first I'd ever heard that from anybody. Previous to that, I'd only sung hymns in church, so that was new for me. And she ended up being the guitarist for the first band I ever joined. It was a Christian rock band in high school called Testament of Light. And we were not great, but we had a good time. So that's kind of how I started out playing music and writing my own music as well.
What do you do with music as far as the church is, as far as what your relationship to the home office is now?
Yeah, I write a lot of music, and that started with me just writing songs for myself, things I enjoyed, but quickly it turned into writing songs for church as well. I learned to play hymns at a young age, so I try and help out there where I can. And then I'm doing special music probably about once a month or so. I'll do special music. And then here at the home office, I assist Ken Shoemaker with the ABC Chorale. So I help out there as best I can anyways, whatever I can help him with.
I know that those of us who are involved with ABC as far as teaching also appreciate this time of year, these 9 months that we have here, because of the music. Now let's talk about the purpose of music in the church service. I think that, you know, with your understanding and feel for worshiping God, you have some comments that you can make about the importance to the church service of having appropriate music. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I think music is incredibly important. Almost, I think sometimes we can minimize the importance of music, and it's something where we all sing hymns at church, or depending on what church you go to, you might do special music, or maybe even outside of church, you're a part of music groups or just enjoy singing, and you instinctively kind of realize it's something you enjoy or maybe don't know if you're good at. But as far as church services go, because it can be part of our everyday lives, we forget the incredibly special nature that music has. And it should be important to all of us, I think, because it's really important to God. And that's outlined in His Word over and over and over again. So we don't want to lose how important it is to God and then make it not important to us just because it's part of our everyday lives, you know? I think we kind of can lose that sometimes.
We have, you know, music in the church. We have, you know, the standard three hymns and then one in the middle. And many churches do not have special music, and they may substitute it with an extra hymn and then one that ends it. And I wish that we had music that was maybe more interjected, you know, with the service. And some congregations have a lot of good special music, and some are able even to put on concerts of music. One church that I worked with in Terre Haute, Indiana, has had some tremendous talent that not only was in the church itself, but they were able to attract talent from around different places in the country. And I might just comment on the fact that we had and have had for many years a concert for God, or a Pentecost weekend, that is held in central Indiana at one of several state parks, you know, as they rotate through the year, through the years. And we would have all churches gather together. It would be a Pentecost weekend that would begin Friday evening for the Sabbath, And then Saturday night, we would hold a concert for God where we had many, many types of music, and they were all sacred music, if I could call that term. You know, sacred music. They're beautiful music that, I hate to use the word entertaining, you know, but they were very, very inspiring and motivating. And we found that to be, you know, the big part, very important part of the weekend. And then we had on Pentecost Day itself, instead of the sermonette period for the afternoon service, we had about six or seven pieces that were sung, you know, and which really rounded off a weekend of music, inspiration, speaking, and wholeness.
Yeah, I've heard of that project, that Concert for God. I think it's really a good effort. And you also mentioned hymns and how, you know, sometimes we can get into this rhythm of three at the beginning, one in the middle, one at the end, and maybe even no special music. But even hymns, I think, should be exciting to us. Sometimes we lose that importance of music, and we kind of just, it becomes something we do by rit. You know, it's something that we are not overly excited about. It's just the part of services where we stand up. But really, hymns themselves, aside from special music, aside from anything you might play for worship or praising God, hymns should be really important to us because it's the one part of services that everybody gets to participate in, aside from the amen. And yes, you get to fellowship outside of services and you can serve in your congregation, but hymns are the only part that everybody, we're all equalized under God at that moment, worshiping him. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman or a child or an old person or new or young in the church, it doesn't matter. Everyone is worshiping God at that moment. So if we lose the importance of hymns, that can just be really, really devastating. I think when we do that, it's almost like, you know, our prayers are an incense to God. I think sometimes we sing, it's the same way. It's very pleasing to him. And when we do that lackluster, which I understand, it's hard to get overly emotional about hymns you might sing over and over and over again, but there should be an emotional part to church services that music really, really emphasizes, and I think is a great thing if done appropriately.
As a music, I wouldn't say director, as a music leader or a song leader, you can make quite a bit out of the time that you have with choosing carefully curated hymns with a certain pattern. You know, depart from evil, do what is good. You know, you're preaching a message there, and people can feel, you know, inspired and, you know, kind of feel courageous about, you know, obeying God, or else his mercy never fails. You know, you could have a song like that. There are other songs that uphold God's law, God's love, God's mercy. You know, we are one people. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can be preached, you can say, maybe one won't use a word, but communicated about God through music.
Well, and also remembered. You know, I think we forget how easily it is songs can get ingrained in our minds, but I think everyone at some point has had a song stuck in their head, whether that's a religious song or not. That's an ability that humans have, to get something just lodged in our brains that we can't get out of there. I would much rather that be a song with God's words in it. You know, we can learn such a good majority of the Psalms just from singing hymns intentionally and knowing what we're singing. And, you know, if we do that just by, yeah, okay, I know this song, I'm going through the words, going through the motions, but not getting something out of it, I think it's almost like turning a cold shoulder to God's word a little bit. But whereas if we're intentional about the things we're singing, you can pick up so much of the Bible just from the music that we're participating in. So we really shouldn't minimize the importance that even just hymns, although I love all kinds of music, but even just hymns can bring to church services and also just your life as a Christian.
Absolutely. We have no disagreement on the fact that music is a very, very major part of church. How can we improve upon, you know, how can we improve upon as we go forward? Because music styles change. And sometimes from one generation to another, there's some pushback, you might say, to the kinds of music that are sung or even other cultural music. And, you know, we in the church have been used to singing the hymns, which have a certain level of comfort with them. And there are things that sometimes people introduce through special music that are not as comfortable. Maybe you can comment about just culture and appropriateness of special music.
Yeah, absolutely. I think music is one of the great controversies in a way. It's something that's never going to go away. We are always throughout time, and I think this has been happening probably in Christ's time as well, and definitely into the church fathers. You can read about in certain manuscripts, certain disagreements they had over music. So this is nothing new, but it can be controversial. And I think it's in one of two ways. It's either style, like you mentioned, or it's in the lyrical content. And if it's in lyrical content, there's really no budging we can do. Everyone should be in agreement over lyrical content. There is doctrinally sound and there is doctrinally unsound. So that one is easy. We should all be in agreement there. Style is where it does get more difficult, because then you're adding things like church tradition or organizational tradition, which is not inherently wrong. And, you know, someone that, like me, I play guitar. So if I go up and I'm playing a song on guitar and there's an older person in the audience and they just aren't used to seeing a guitar up there, they might be offended by that. Now, I think the controversy can be solved in one of two ways. And I think it's on the responsibility. The onus is on each individual person, the one playing the music and the one listening to the music. And if we just communicate with each other, I think we can really learn a lot and not have as much controversy. For example, if I'm playing a song that you personally did not enjoy, rather than making it a really big deal, or, you know, going to the minister and saying, oh, we shouldn't be playing this music, and making it, you know, just blow up more than it should. If you were to come and talk to me and say, hey, I would like to understand your song choice. Why did you pick that? I would happily sit down with you and explain my point of view. You would at least be able to see that my heart is not in the wrong place. And we could just have an honest conversation about it, where hopefully I'm hearing you and you're hearing me. And so the next time I go up, I might consider your side of things or how you feel about certain music. And you might consider how I feel about it. And that way, I think we can grow in manageable ways, have some manageable growth. And I think communication really is the key there, rather than just allowing ourselves to get inflamed over just things that are style-based and not biblically-based.
One thing, too, is it's not just that alone, but it's how the music is performed. One criticism I have heard over time is that the person was stuck on themselves, you know, or really trying to be exhibitionist, you know, in how they performed. And sometimes you kind of have to reach out to God, you know. It's not really a self-centered thing, but it's a godly thing, you know, with the gestures and the different types of things. But on the other hand, too, there are some who really want to show their greatness rather than focus the attention of that service on God and his greatness. And any comments on that?
Yeah, you're 100% right. I've seen it time and time again. I've probably been guilty of it myself. And I think it still comes down to communication, because you're going to have people that struggle with pride. Every person struggles with pride to an extent. So, and with music, it's no different. It's an ability, it's a talent, something that God gives to mankind. So it's easy to get wrapped up in ourselves with music. But that being said, if I notice someone that is, maybe they're swaying with the music they're playing, or their eyes are closed, and you think, man, they're just performing. They're not worshiping, they're performing. And that's a big difference, and you can see it. If I were to go to that person and just kind of get a feel for who they are, their relationship with God, I might have a lot more grace with them. But also, they might come to understand, you know, you're right, my mindset is not in the best place here. And if they're not in the best place and they continue on being prideful, and then that's something that needs to be worked out. But rather than just assuming because you see a person moving or getting emotionally invested in what they're singing, that's not necessarily wrong. So we need to be careful of condemning someone before we speak with them. But it is a problem, I think, we can kind of slip into. People that play music, we can get prideful. And I think God does humble us from time to time. But hopefully it's apparent to, you know, our brothers and sisters in the church to come and talk to us as well and say, hey, like, what's going on? You know, you're not any greater than anybody else. We need that. You know, we need accountability from people. So I think, again, it comes back to communication. But yeah, I've definitely noticed that as an issue before.
And, you know, one passage that we were going through here in the Bible study was be yielded one to another, which is, you know, consider the feelings of others. I know that one time we had some newer type music. You were talking about playing a guitar and, you know, being questioned by having a guitar on stage rather than just a piano. I guess a piano would have been okay, you know, but not a guitar. But, you know, I have no problem with an acoustic guitar. But, you know, when you have an electric guitar, or, you know, get up there with a bass and just a lot and a lot of percussion, then that begins to be something which represents something more than people have been used to and are not comfortable with it in the context of our church services.
Yeah, you're right. And it's nothing you can point to and say, that is biblically not right. because in the Bible you see David has a lot of instruments. There it says make a loud, joyful noise. So that's okay. It's just when it's not our culture and you might be offending someone, even if it's something that's not a fundamental belief or a specific doctrine, if you're offending a person, that is a problem. You know, no matter if you're perfectly in the right or not, Paul talks about that several times, offending your brethren, even in like eating meat. And he says, I would just give up meat. It's not worth offending someone, even if I'm not doing anything wrong. So that is something that musicians need to be wary of. And I don't think it means you have to just give up any music you enjoy. Just do things in moderation. Go to people you feel like might have a problem. And, you know, this narrative too about, I think we get into it time and time again where, oh, the older people will be offended. Sometimes I've played faster music and the older people were the ones that came up and said, man, I just wanted to dance to that song. I loved it. And some of the younger people that are trying to be conscious of the older people say, you shouldn't play that song. That's a little bit too speedy for our taste. And it's just, it's very funny. But I think if we all communicated and explained, here's where I'm coming from, here's my understanding of what's appropriate and what's not, we would really solve a lot of difficulties rather than just, you know, blurting out our opinions very quickly, which is kind of the way of the world right now.
One thing that many churches have, this is not ours, you know, they have a music ministry, so to speak, you know, which basically is they have a music director, the person who schedules it all out. And in a sense, we have the same with the pastor. Maybe the pastor himself is being the one who assigns the special music. What are some guidelines that you would have as far as just the year-long program of looking forward to special music and even cultivating it?
A year-long program as far as what we would do versus what the world or like other churches would do?
I would say just what, I'm Pastor X, and you know, I have about 4 or 5 people that can do music. How would I position them?
Okay, I see. Well, I think for one, we in our church are accustomed to calling it special music. You know, we have a time slot of special music. Sometimes when you don't have the music, I think things can kind of be forced in there where suddenly it's not really something pleasing or enjoyable for people listening or the one playing it, because they just think this is something I do. You know, we only have 4 people, so I'm going to do it so often. And I think that's a shame. So if we're scheduling special music, I think being intentional about our scheduling is really important. I think intentionality is the other side of communication in everything music and church, because the singer, songwriter, or the musician should be intentional about what they're singing and how they're singing it. The audience should be intentional about listening to the words and showing some grace to the one performing it. You know, maybe they mess up, show some grace. And the one scheduling should also show some intentionality in not just throwing music up there because that's what is expected, but, you know, I would rather, even if it's like up to hymns or something, I'd rather sing 2 hymns a day if I did them with all my heart, fully singing in praise to God, rather than, well, we're going to sing 6, but you're not going to get anything out of it. And so I think intentionality in your planning and your scheduling, whether you are the person that's organizing it or the person that's performing, I think that it comes down to intentionality every time.
Well, that intentionality could just really spill over to the kind of music itself. I know that, you know, I play the piano and I have played Chopin and Beethoven. I love it and all. And actually I have played Chopin preludes in church services, you know, a long, long time ago, back when I was in my teens and early 20s. But I've come to see that it's important to have music that really focuses on God. In that way, and that would be by having some message or words, or at least assumed words, that would really point to the great Creator, because the whole point of the service is that God is there with you. God is going to be speaking through the minister or the speakers that day. And the music should follow and not be something that's kind of like for elevators.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that comes down to style as well. And that, I think, is the opposite side of style, where, you know, sometimes if it's not, we seem like sometimes we think music is 2 extremes. It's either fast paced new age music that is pretty much just the world's Christian music, or it's classical music that is slower and contemplative, but really doesn't have to do anything with God. I think those are the extremes we shouldn't be reaching for. There's plenty in the middle that's great. I love chorale music. You know, I love hymns. I also love an acoustic guitar and a piano playing together with, you know, some great words. I think having that mix is really, really important. But if we fall into the mindset that, oh, well, this person just played an instrumental of Beethoven and that's good enough for special music, but this person really with a good heart is singing words in a style that I don't necessarily agree with. I think we're in a little bit of danger there, a little bit of hot water. It reminds me almost of Cain and Abel. You know, Cain gave an offering that he thought was acceptable, and Abel gave an offering that he knew was acceptable. I think of music as an offering. And if we're putting up something that's just, oh, that's musically beautiful, you know, I'm not saying Beethoven isn't great. He was a wonderful composer. But is it worshiping God? Is it praising God? Or is it something that, because it's our tradition, we feel is an acceptable offering, where we might be condemning the offering of someone who is acceptable, but just might not be what we're used to? And that can go both ways, from people listening to choir music and feeling like they're not getting anything out of it, to people listening to classical music and feeling like some singer-songwriter up on stage is just prideful. That can go either way.
Well, this just shows how subjective the subject is, and sometimes brings controversy and even feelings in our church, you know, as people discuss this. I used to be a choir director, actually, in Minneapolis, and for 3 years I had a choir that started with 16 people. You know, we had four for every voice, and by the time that I ended, you know, we had 32. We doubled the size of it, and we sang some beautiful numbers. I think the high point was when we sang the Hallelujah Chorus and God of Our Fathers and The Heavens Are Telling. I mean, we had some great anthems, but they're powerful. They have a powerful voice and the harmony. And there are people who don't really like choir music, but I absolutely love it.
Yeah, something we've actually been doing in ABC, which has been really fun, is taking songs that all of the students recognize and know and allowing them to pitch ideas to us and say, hey, what about this song? What about this song? And then me and Chad Browning, the other assistant, and Ken Shoemaker, the director, we go and look for choir versions of those songs, provided that they're lyrically sound and doctrinally sound. So that way, they're singing something that they feel they understand and can relate to, but we're doing it in a style that is comfortable for everybody according to the tradition that we've always held. And that is that choir music is, you know, pretty safe all the way around. So that's been a good balance.
Well, I know that ABC, one of its strengths from day one has been the fact that they've been able to put together a choir. No matter how big the class is on the smaller side this year with 17 students, but I think they're just about all in the choir. And, you know, to see them kind of be mobilized and trained to where they really do well. And I'm glad to see you being part of it. I know Ken Shoemaker has been there from day one, and he's just been a tremendous asset to that. And everybody, I'm sure, when they think back of their ABC days, think about the days in choir and the practice and how well worth it was.
Yeah, it's one of the most unifying factors at ABC, in my opinion, because while you're individually all there for reasons of your own, and you're all there to learn the Bible and to grow in grace and knowledge, the choir is the thing that is kind of your shared experience. It's like an uphill climb altogether, where you're starting from nothing, basically. All of you separate, never having worked together before, coming together to build one thing. And that common ground, that common struggle really, really unifies the class and does become something that is the most memorable. But we really, really try and emphasize the worship aspect of music. You know, it should be about worship. It should be about praise. It should be from the Bible. And if it's not that, then we're slipping into that prideful thing. You know, as good as a choir could get, as amazing as it is to see the growth, I'd rather see them not grow as much musically, but grow so much more spiritually. Fortunately, at ABC, we have the opportunity to grow in both ways. So that's been a really good experience.
I was kind of a fly on the wall here a couple of days ago when you were introducing some new songs to the class. I think that you had them sort of, did they decide them or kind of have a voice in it?
Today is actually the day that we're going to narrow down the songs and hopefully pick something out so we can start learning it. But yeah, all of the songs, unless they specifically ask for suggestions from us, from things that we've sung before or just personally enjoy, we typically take suggestions from the class, and we will try and, you know, we make it their choir as much as possible, because we want them to have a stake in the game and not just come and say, here's the things you're learning, here's the music, learn to love it. We want them to come to us and say, here's things we love, can we try these? So yeah, they have a big say in the music that we sing.
It's not just education of the Bible going verse by verse, it's also going through octave to octave, you know, in the music. Well, Micah, is there anything else you'd like to share with us here in the closing moments of this podcast?
Yeah, I think the last thing that I would say to kind of wrap all of this up is just that music is an incredible gift from God. And let's not forget how important it is and that it is a gift. It's quite literally, in my mind, it's spiritual warfare. It's a weapon God gives us to use against evil. And that's shown in the Bible time and time again. You have Jehoshaphat sending out armies with the choir at the front. You have Jericho falling down from the blast of trumpets. You have it time and time again in the Bible where music is listed as something powerful, and we should not cheapen that. We shouldn't weaken that. But it's just a huge blessing if we allow it to be a blessing. And if we don't, then I just think that's a shame for everybody. It's so interesting to me how when music comes up, people are so shy. They're so afraid to put themselves out there. If I were to ask anyone, can you ride a bike? Most people would say, yeah, I can ride a bike. They don't compare themselves to Lance Armstrong or some of the greats. But if I say, can you sing? People immediately compare themselves to the best and say, no, I can't sing. So I guess my last words would just be, realize what an amazing gift music is from God and use it. No matter your level of a musical accomplishment or skill, just please use it, because God gives it for us to use so that we can worship Him. So keep on singing. If you haven't sung yet, start singing, be intentional about what you're singing, communicate with others, love each other, show each other a little bit of grace and compassion, and just keep on making music, because it's commanded by God and it's a gift that He gives us.
Thank you, Micah, for taking the time today to talk about music on Inside United. We also thank our audience for joining us today. Please be sure to tell your friends about our weekly podcast. You can find us easily on the ucg.org homepage. Go up to the main menu bar, click on podcast. You can visit all of our previous podcasts here as well. We're also on Spotify. You can also find us through your favorite Apple or Android podcasting app. We'd love to hear from you. Please write to us at podcast@ucg.org, podcast@ucg.org. So have a great week, and we'll see you again soon.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.